This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara. I hope that we're all blessed by worshiping together, and it's always good to see everyone. I am so glad for my church family. I've gotten lots and lots of support over the last, well, forever, but especially over the last several years. And last Sunday, I was having a tough time with someone, something. And Jenny Luckenbill came and sat aside of me and said, "You're not sitting alone." And I thought, how sensitive. And I thought, please God, let me be sensitive to others' problems and feelings. I was asked to announce that Kobe's is the mission of the month. We only have this Sunday left. And there are a lot of other things in the bulletin. Please avail yourselves. Read the bulletin, not necessarily when Pastor Matt is preaching. So next Sunday, we'll be starting with the 8:15 and 10:30 worship again. Are there any other announcements? Yes. Any other announcements? Would you please rise and join me in the call to worship and remain standing for the hymn? Lord, we see you in all things. Your wisdom leads us to live pure and righteous lives. Help us to be peacemakers and full of mercy as we worship you.
Instrument of your peace will be projected, and I'm going to lead it from the piano. conference this year, and I guess it's just a reminder about, you know, letting the Lord use us as his instruments of peace.
That's our prayer this morning, that indeed we could, each and every one of us, be instruments of peace. And that looks different for each of us, the circles that we all have friends in, that peace can come in many different ways. So may we be instruments of peace. I want to add Esther Yenser to your prayer concerns this morning. She's at Hershey Medical Center, and she had a fall. And just keep her in your prayers as they discern the next steps for Esther. There'll be a microphone coming around, and just put your hand in the air, and we'll be glad to hear your prayer request this morning.
I'd like to lift my son, Chris Duell, up. He's been in the Ephrata Hospital since Thursday. They're taking tests, and they're still not quite sure of all the results, so I'd like to lift him up in prayer. Thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my mother. She has been getting worse of her memory, so please keep her in your prayers. Also, I'm having surgery this coming Friday, and I'd like prayers for that. And also, I'm dealing with another medical issue.
I just want to express a joy this morning for the wonderful weather we had last night for our fair, country fair. If you were there, you know, we had a lot of good times, good food, and good fellowship. And somebody asked me how much money we made and so on and so forth. And it's really not all about the money. It's about, it was started 30-some years ago as part of the ecumenical movement. It's about fellow believers from all congregations working together for the glory of God and for the good of their neighbors. Thank you.
And I almost made it to the end of the auction without buying a shoe fly pie, but I failed. It is wet bottom, though, so if anyone wants a piece, let me know. Come to the parsonage. We do want to lift up students. We know you're headed back to school tomorrow. I see three of them over here. Look how happy they are. They're so excited. There's other students that have already gone back to school, and we just want to lift up our students and teachers again this week. And, of course, our dear daughter, Abby, we dropped her off at Mansfield. She's a little bored right now, so she's been contacting Mom and Malachi, and so she's ready to get classes started. But thank you for your prayers as our students go back to school and we deal with emotions as they go to college. So, Lord, we just thank you for bringing us here together. Thank you for the gift of life, for the ability to breathe and to breathe in your Holy Spirit, to know that we were made to be instruments of peace, to be love in this world where there seems to be so much hatred. We pray, Lord, that as we encounter others, that we would accept them. We would be willing to talk and listen to them, Lord, and be willing to share life together. We know, Lord, that you are a God about community. And we thank you for the fair last night and the many different churches and individuals that gathered together to just celebrate who you are by food and fellowship and just a great time at that country fair. And we thank you for the wonderful weather you blessed us with. We do pray, Lord, this morning for Chris. You know what he's dealing with in this very moment. You know, Lord, the healing touch that he longs for. And we pray, Lord, that if it's your will, you would extend your touch upon Chris and just allow anything that's happening to him to be cured, to be rid of, and to no longer be dealing with. And we just praise you, Father, no matter what happens with Chris, Lord, that we know you're in control. We thank you for Dottie this morning, and we thank you for Lisa, Lord. We pray that you would continue to bless them, continue to guide them, to lead them, to be their strength and their encouragement, to be their rock during these times as they face surgery, as they continue to go through different illnesses, Lord. We just pray that your mercy would be upon them, your grace would flow into their lives. And Lord, too, if your healing touch would extend upon them, we ask that it would be so. And we just thank you, Lord, that we know your plans are greater than our plans. We lift up Esther this morning, Lord. We know the fall that she's taken in. Lord, we're not certain whether surgery will be needed, but we just ask, Lord, you would just give Esther comfort during this time and just allow her to know your peace in an incredible way. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can grow into those golden years and just know that you're with us. And we thank you for everyone here this morning, those that are celebrating birthdays. We just ask that you would bless them and those that have birthdays this week, Lord. We just thank you for every single year of life that you give us. And we don't take those years for granted. And we just lift up the Bryant family and continue to ask your blessings upon each of them, especially Daniel this morning, Lord, as he continues to wait for that next procedure. We just pray that you would wrap that family with your loving arms. You would be a strong support for them, Lord, and just allow them to know your peace in a powerful way. And each of us here this morning, you know what we're dealing with. We have students that are going back to school, that students that have gone on to college. And Lord, we just pray for every chapter of our lives. We know that each day can be an adventure, and we have emotions, and we thank you for those emotions you give us. But Lord, continue to let us know that you know every tear that falls from our face. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can be blessed by the years that we've had with our children. And we just ask that you would protect them, you would guard them. Those that are homeschooling this year, we ask, Lord, you would bless them as they have patience and just give them the wisdom they need to homeschool their children, and just bless them, Lord, in mighty ways as well this morning. We just lift up Carl Graby and Kenny this morning. We lift up Laura Lee this morning as well, and lift up our sister church, Heidelberg Church of the Brethren. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just have your way in each of their lives. We know, Lord, that your love increases each and every day, and we just thank you for that beautiful love that you bestow upon us. And we just come before you now, Lord. We know that we've sinned, we've made mistakes, and we just want to take pause and come before you and confess those sins and turn away from them. So thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers of confession. Lord, not a single day goes by that we're not reminded of the cross, the cruel punishment that you endured for each of us, that our sins would be forgiven. But we confess this morning, Lord, that those sins continue to creep into our lives, and we just want to lay them down once and for all before that cross, where we know that they have given us freedom, that you have given us freedom from them. And we just pray, Lord, that we would live a life reflective of who you are, that others might want to know you because of the walk that we walk and the talk that we talk. And we just thank you, Lord, for everyone gathered here this morning. Those that wish they could be here this morning, we pray your abundant blessings upon them. We pray you would just have your way in this service and your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did you know that gratitude has been scientifically shown to help nourish mind and body, improving sleep, easing depression, boosting immunity, and lowering stress? Every day is a gift to be unwrapped moment by moment, enjoyed and shared with others. This is the time in our worship service to give our tithes and offerings to support our church locally and globally. May we pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you praising and thanking you for all that we have. Give us grace to honor you with our gifts. We offer money, and we offer you our lives to be used for your service. May we be faithful stewards of your bounty to your honor and glory. Amen.
Come join me up front. I'm going to stand today. I have a hard time getting back up these days. Okay? Baby's getting a little bigger. All right, good morning. Today we are going to talk about wisdom, or being wise. Does anyone know what it means to be wise, or what wisdom means? If you're wise, what do you think that means? You want to take a guess? Smart about making decisions? That's a great answer. Yeah, you're very right. Wisdom has a lot to do with knowledge. If we have knowledge, it means that we have it up here in our head, right? When we learn things, that's our knowledge. When we have wisdom, we put all that knowledge into our own lives, into action. Some people know a lot about Jesus, and they put his teachings into practice in their daily life. Jesus said that these people are very wise. I'm going to show you some flashcards, and I want you to tell me if you think it's wise to do or foolish, okay? So here's the first one. It's okay to run with scissors. Is that wise? No. Good. You should always chew your food. Is that wise? Yes. Never tie your shoes. No, that's not too wise. Next one. Never listen to your parents. Is that wise? No. Here's one. Never eat yellow snow. Is that wise? Yeah. Very good. It's always good to tell lies. No, not wise. You should be kind to others. Is that wise? Yes. Here's a good one. Only eat candy. Not wise, right? Read your Bible every day. Is that wise? Mm-hmm. Put cheese in your ears. No, that's silly. You should not steal. Right, that's wise. You shouldn't steal. Okay. Very good. I have a couple of symbols now that are going to help us remember how we can gain wisdom. So I have four different symbols, and these are showing us how we can gain wisdom or be wise. So what's this? Yeah, it's an ear. It's showing listening. So the ear stands for listening. Listening is how we learn about wisdom, right? We listen to our parents, our pastor, our Sunday school teacher, our teachers at school, and we learn all that knowledge and we learn how to use that wisdom. What's this? The Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. In it, we learn that God gives wisdom. If we listen to his teachings, we will become wise, and if we ask the Lord for wisdom, he's happy to give it to us. What do you think that means? Yeah, the hands are praying, the praying hands. Prayer is how we ask for wisdom. We can ask God to be wise. And the last one, yeah, it's a heart stands for love. Love is how we apply wisdom. When we apply wisdom through love, it helps us think about our actions and how they affect others. So when we act with love, our relationships get better and our faith gets stronger and we get along better with others. So what are some of the ways that we can get wise? Yep, love is one of them. What's another one? Listening, praying, and the last one. What should you read? Yeah, read the Bible. Very good. Let's pray together. We want to know, dear God, we want to know that you and Jesus have taught, but more importantly, we want to have the wisdom to take what you taught and put it into action in our own lives. Amen. Thank you.
I invite you to turn to number 546 to sing Guide My Feet.
Thank you.
Can you believe it? We've now been in the series Walk the Talk for several weeks, which is from which book again? James. Some of you have been paying attention. Let's see how much you've been paying attention. James is the oldest or the youngest book of the Bible in the New Testament. Oldest, right? Yeah. Some say it was written perhaps as early as AD 45 before the First Council of Jerusalem in AD 50. You may recall James was martyred in approximately AD 62, according to the historian Josephus. Now, as we continue the series, keep in mind the purpose of James' writing. Some think it was written in response to an overzealous interpretation of Paul's teaching regarding faith. They call this extreme view antinomianism, which is held that through faith in Christ, one is completely free from all Old Testament law, all legalism, all secular law, and all the morality of a society. So James is directing his book to the Jewish Christians who are scattered among all the nations. We may recall Martin Luther, who detested this letter and called it the Epistle of Straw. Some failed to recognize that James' teaching on works complemented, not contradicted, Paul's teaching on faith. It's evident to us that while Pauline teachings concentrate on our justification with God, James' teachings concentrate on the works that exemplify that justification. Now let's dig just a little deeper. We may remember James was writing to Jews to encourage them to continue growing in this new Christian faith. He emphasizes that good actions will naturally flow from those who are filled with the Spirit. And it actually questions whether someone may or may not have a saving faith if the fruits of the Spirit are not seen. So all this to say, the book of James is the ultimate description of the relationship between faith and works. Now, culturally speaking, this was so ingrained in the Mosaic law and in its system of works that James spent a boatload of time explaining to the Jewish Christians that no one is justified by the works of the law. He declares to them that even if they try their very, very best to keep all the various laws and rituals, doing so is impossible. And transgressing the tiniest part of the law makes them guilty of it all. So before we dive in today, let's see how this applies to our lives. There's a challenge here to faithful followers of Jesus Christ to just not talk the talk, but to walk the walk. And I pray even further that we can walk the talk. Many of us here today have spent our lives gaining knowledge about the Word. But James is telling us, don't stop there. Talk all you want about what you know, but also walk what you know. Before the series ends, James will have presented us with 60 obligations in only 108 verses. Now, much of what focuses on the truths of Jesus' words in a Sermon on the Mount and motivates us to act upon what he taught. So, friends, take a deep breath and realize that this epistle puts to rest the idea that we can become a Christian and continue living in sin, not showing any fruit of righteousness at all. Such a faith, you may remember, James declares, is shared by the demons who believe and tremble. Yet such a faith cannot save because it's not verified by the works that always accompany saving faith. Friends, breathe in the fact good works are not the cause of salvation. They are the result of it. Now that was a lot to take in a short period of time, so let's lighten it up a little bit with some wisdom we can learn from cowboys. Can I get a yeehaw? Number one, never, 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 Lachey, never, slap a man who's chewing tobacco. Number two, good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than trying to put the cat back in. If you're riding ahead of the herd, take a look back every now and then to make sure that it's still there. If you get to thinking you're a person of some influence, try ordering someone else's dog around. Never, never kick a cow patty on a hot day. There's two theories to arguing with a woman. Guys, neither will work. If you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. I don't even want to imagine this one. Don't squat with your spurs on. And it doesn't take a genius to spot a goat in a flock of sheep. Three more. Always drink upstream from the herd. Never miss a good chance to be quiet. And finally, there are three kinds of people. The ones that learn by reading, the few who learn by observation, and the rest who simply have to touch the fire to realize that it's hot. Friends, I'd like us to think about the wisest person that you've ever known. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a college professor, a parent or grandparent, or someone throughout history. What makes that person wise? More importantly, with that person in mind, how did they show you their wisdom? Francis Chan describes wisdom this way. It's all about action. It's all about character. J.I. Packer says, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. James, as we're about to read, says, if you have wisdom from above, then you're going to be pure. There's going to be a holiness about your life. So as we stand together and read James 3, 13 to 18, I want you to ponder those qualities, pure and holy, and examine your life as we hear what James has to say to us. And are we walking the talk with wisdom? Please rise. James 3, 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Would you pray with me? Lord, we long to know these words upon our hearts. Lord, we long to put them into practice. We pray this very day that we would be set apart. We would be holy. We would be pure. We ask now, Lord, you would open our hearts and our minds to receive exactly what you have in store for us. Let us lay aside this very moment any distractions and be attentive to your wisdom before us. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, there's no doubt the Bible has a lot of teaching on wisdom. But one consistent fact throughout is that true wisdom does not talk about itself. In other words, you're not going to see a wise guy or woman walking around saying, "Hey, look at me." That wise person recognizes their own limitations and they simply will not boast. You see, they know how short life can be, and they keep a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, we've heard those terms before, to have fear of the Lord. That is that they had an awed respect of who God is, and a trust in his word and character to live accordingly. You see, friends, when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we rely on God's wisdom for every aspect of daily life. And it doesn't stop there. You see, friends, we will make whatever changes we need to make according to God's word. But here's the problem. The audience James is speaking to considered themselves wise, and they boasted about it. As a matter of fact, they liked to be well respected. So here's what they did. When they saw others who got more respect, they envied them. They criticized them. And they tried all they could to get ahead of them. I don't know about you, but it sounds a lot like the world we live in right now. Whatever it takes to get ahead, to advance, to further our status, no matter how impure, no matter how unholy, we take extreme measures to make it happen. Yet, perhaps, just maybe, there's a slight possibility it started with a genuine desire for righteousness. But friends, this desire gets clouded by what some call personal ambition. But James is saying to us today, let's work for peace. Let's not be drawn in by those who boldly claim they're wiser than anyone else. Instead, together as the body of Christ, may we be cautious of impure motive. Let's be careful what and who we listen to. The reality is, friends, life is not only about blessings. There will be trials. We will suffer. But with God's wisdom, we will grow more and more into his likeness. Is there anyone here this morning that wants that today? To be more holy. To have a fear of the Lord. To long to walk in his ways. You see, friends, this world has nothing on Jesus. There's nothing more precious, there's nothing more valuable than the wisdom to know and to demonstrate God's love. The promise of wisdom, as we see in Proverbs 1:7, tells us this, friends, those who desire God's truth can have it. But it requires giving up the world's measure of truth. We know, friends, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So think about that wise person you know. Chances are they probably don't have all the answers. But it's obvious to us they're wise enough to seek God's counsel. Remember, to have knowledge is to have understanding. It's to have information about something. But to have wisdom is to have the ability to apply that knowledge to every aspect of life. So here's our challenge this week. Do something. Do something. Maybe consider honoring the person whose wisdom you've been blessed by. If the person's still living, thank them by telling them what they've taught you. If they've gone on to be with the Lord, thank God for them and find some way to commemorate their effect on your life. Friends, it is now our opportunity. You know, it's actually our privilege. It's our honor on behalf of Jesus Christ to demonstrate this wisdom to others. We don't have to be listed in who's who to know what's what. Knowing God and showing wisdom, they go hand in hand. But friends, the world is waiting and anticipating what true wisdom looks like. So maybe lately you've been walking the talk. Today, let's add another component. Let's walk the talk with wisdom. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know our hearts. You know what we know. But what we know can't be kept inside of us. What we know needs to be shown. It needs to be involved in action. It needs to be demonstrated. And Lord, we know there's this beautiful world that you have created. And there's many among us that have been taught things that don't come from your wisdom, but they come from the wisdom of the world. And we just ask you today, Lord, to separate that within us, to help us to be mindful of what your word teaches us, and to be mindful even more so of how the world tries to distract us from what your word says. So we just surrender, we submit to you today. We know, Lord, that we've been journeying through this life for X many of years. But Lord, as we journey, we've accumulated so much knowledge. And perhaps today, for the very first time, we're going to take that knowledge and turn it into wisdom and apply it to our lives and show others. May it be so. May it be so. In the precious name of our Lord, who soon, and I pray very soon, is coming back. Amen. So here's the question for us this morning, friends. With that hymn being sung, are you ready for the coming of the King? Are you ready? And if you're not ready, what needs to be done in your lives right now in this very moment to make yourselves more holy, to make yourselves more pure? I pray that we would seek God's wisdom today. We would look at our lives, we would examine our lives, and we would be able to see a distinct reflection of Jesus Christ. And if not, the question begs to be answered. What must I do to get ready? May it be so. Amen.